gentlemen, good morning. The meeting is now officially opened. You have the agenda in front of you. I hope you did get it electronically and also in your pigeonholes. The apologies we have is the apology of the chairperson who is in Morocco attending the COP22. So she won't be up until the 19th. The other apology is Travel Spain, who is attending the meeting of rural development. The other one is Honorable Cebekulu, because he's attending another meeting. The minister will also not be available due to other government commitments. The DG is also not available because he's traveling abroad. So those are the apologies that we have. Is there any other apology which I did not register? None. Thank you very much. Now, honourable members, you will recall that in the previous meeting we did indicate that today we'll get a briefing from the department on the status of the South African marine fisheries resources. We will not get a briefing on the allocations because we are meeting with stakeholders on the 25th. So we'll expect the department to be part of that meeting where we'll interact with this document on the allocation, including hearing the views of the stakeholders on this aspect. Now, having said so, I'm going to hand over to the department to do the presentation. But before they do that, DM, if there is anybody who is new, which members of this committee don't know, you can introduce that person. If there is anybody who is new from your side.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm always challenged with this technology. Well, please. I looked around and I guess there is nobody here from fisheries since we have been here all the time. So it's thanks for welcoming, and we won't waste time. We'll allow the officials between DDG Fisheries and DDG Health, Plants, Animals to take us through, but I will make a call on the DDG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Morning, DM. Morning to the honourable members. Chairperson, we will briefly go through this presentation, but I think that to give an umbrella purpose with regards to the status of South Africa's marine resources, what we have done, Chairperson, in this presentation is just to take a sample of some of the key species, the hakes, the small pelagics, the West Coast rock lobster and abalone. We did not present here everything. We have got 22 commercial fisheries and we've got over 25 species and associated species with that. So we thought it will take too much if we are going to focus on each and every species. So this is just a subsample of some of the key species. Basically, fisheries management focuses on three things. The first thing being the science, and the importance of science is very critical in fisheries management because it provides evidence that is needed to take critical decisions with regards to how the stock is, how the apportionments can be done, or what becomes available for the resource to be exploited. But the second leg that is also very important is the leg of compliance, because basically fisheries management wants to allocate and give access to people, but we want to know who fishes what amounts do they fish, how do they fish it, and the way of how they report what they fish also becomes critical. So compliance becomes another critical element to it. I think we will discuss that through when we go through the presentation and through the discussion. And the last important element is in regards to the resource management itself, because the resources management is guided by key principles, socio-economic principles, ecological principles. But basically, Che, I thought if I just could give that broad overview with regards to this. And I will request Mr. Machili, Justice Machili. He's the Chief Director responsible for research and development in the fisheries branch to take us through the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, DM. Good morning, honorable members, and good morning, colleagues. It avails me a great deal of pleasure to present this summarized version of the status of our resources. I think I've touched something here and everything vanished. Sincere apologies there. In the meantime, as we trying to reload this, I would just like to again maybe reemphasize the importance of the trichotomy that exists as explained by the DDG here. Thank you. Sincere apologies for that inconvenience. We, to gather all this information and to be able to present it in this manner, each and every year we spend a lot of time at sea gathering data. And this is data that we gather following our own scientific design, fishery independent data. Data gathered by the department to make sure that we are able to speak to the information that we present. At times we also use fishery dependent data, but right here what we're presenting does not touch on any such data at all. Now, we can only gather as much data as our budget allows, and more often than not, you can only do the best you can within the limits of the financial resources available. The information I'm going to present here runs all the way up till 2015 data. We do not as yet have the comprehensive 2016 data. That won't be presented here. So the 2016 status of the resource report talks to 2015 and 2014. Indeed, this is a summarized version of all the activities that we do as a department and as a branch. And what I'll quickly run through here is just the quick assessment of the most important resources, the most valuable ones, the commercially important ones, and just to give a brief summary and a brief review of these species. So we'll focus mostly on the Cape hakes and the pelagic resources. We'll also talk to abalone, which is a critical one, and the West Coast rock lobster. I think before we go into those specifics, it's important that we look at all the different resources globally in terms of how they look, the actual stock status as an indication of how the different resources are doing. And the table we have there shows quite clearly on the left-hand side, we have what we refer to as fishing pressure. And then the x-axis there, we have what we refer to as a stock status, how the status is currently. The red part gives the details or the information or the names of the different species that are in trouble. Those whose status does not look good. They are heavily depleted and there's also heavy pressure on them. That is the red part there. As you can see, that's where we also find some of the very resources that we'll be talking about here, where you find the abalone, where you find the rock lobster, the West Coast rock lobster. The orange there, that refers then to those species which are in moderate trouble. In other words, if we can exert more pressure onto these resources, they're more likely going to end up in the red. Now, the ones in the green area, these are species that are reasonably healthy and optimally utilized. Of course, we have the blue area there, which shows some of the species there. As you can see, the anchovy, the red eye, and the gala sole. These are some of the resources that for now, we say these are underutilized, but at the same time, we are unsure of the abundance because we do not gather enough data there. So we cannot speak with certainty and say this is indeed how it is because we don't gather enough data. In some of these, what happens is we get the data from the other surveys, which are not directed to these specific species. Now, if we have to compare the overall results of the previous 2 years with those that we have currently, we can see that there are minor changes in some areas and slightly significant changes in others. As you can see, under the unknown, the information is still relatively the same. The underutilized, as you can see in 2016, there's an account of more of the species that are underutilized, and this is specifically mostly because of the soles, the West Coast sole. And then the optimally utilized, as you can see there, 2016, there's an increase there, which is quite significant. And then, of course, those which are of concern, to some degree, some of our resource recovery strategies are starting to bear fruit. Those overexploited, we can see the levels remain the same. Now, what tends to bring about the different changes between the years? Now, more often than not, this could be because of, number one, either environmental perturbations. These are changes that take place which may affect the stocks in a negative way. And also, it could be because of the increased pressure on the resources. But at the same time, it could also be because of the recovery itself and the improvement in the status of the different feedstocks that brings about the variation. We are busy with some recovery plans, and as said earlier, some of these are beginning to bear fruit, and that will bring about some of these variations. Now, if I can talk about some of those that show improvement or a perception there that there is improvement in stock status, there are a number of reasons. If we look at the Hottentot there, given there, this is primarily due to the improved assembly. The Carpenter, as you can see there, that's because of the improved assessment. And then, of course, Linga, Yellowtail, and the others, as you can see, going down. Because of the reporting, the more reporting that is happening and the data that we're gathering, you begin to see some of these changes and some of the improvements. Where there's less information, sometimes it's very difficult to speak with certainty. Now, if we go, we can go to the main species. We'll start with the Cape hake. Now, as you can see, the data indicates quite clearly there, if you look towards the end, towards the 2013, 2014-15 there, the trend, especially for inshore hake, is downwards. But we normally speak about this relative to what we call the maximum sustainable yield, the MSY. Now, we try by all means to manage these resources around the maximum sustainable yield. Now, the resource has been oscillating around the maximum sustainable yield, going up and down, up and down. But the trend lately seems to be slightly down. Over the last 2 years, though, the trend was that of at least discernible improvements with the hake. When we talk about the hake, these are two species. The deep water hake, which is referred to as the Melusius paradoxus, where the stocks have been okay, and the shallow water hake, which is the Melusius capensis. Now, these are caught mostly by trawl. We've got inshore trawl and offshore trawl. Then we also have the long line and hand line hake. These are the different methods of catching this fish. Now, this is a high-value species. In South Africa, this contributes more than 5 billion per annum, and we have about 6,600 people employed in this sector. The tonnage allocated, the TAC, around 147,000 tons. The most exciting bit here is that this is one sector that is fortunately certified by the Marine Stewardship Council, which is very good for the industry because it means they can maximize profitability. Now, TACs for the period 2007 and 2009, we're going to talk about comparisons, there the TACs were substantially reduced because of the pressures and because of the stock status that are showing signs of getting reduced. But then again, immediately after that, there were signs of recovery. And as a result, the catch rates increased, and that resulted in increased TAC. Again, as said earlier, the current management aims to keep the resource around the maximum sustainable yield. When we talk about the MSY, there will be arguments again. There are those who then look at that and say, we also have what we refer to as the maximum economic yield? Are we pursuing that one? From our research perspective, we focus primarily on the MSY and not necessarily the maximum economic yield, which is also something that should be considered, but that would then need us to conduct some economic research in this regard. Now, in terms of the pelagic species, we have three of these where that we'll be talking about: the anchovy, the sardine, and the red eye. Looking at the anchovy, the total biomass during the November 2015 survey estimated about 1.9 million tons. Now that's slightly below the long-term average of 2.28 million tons. This also tells us recent results are indicating that the status of the resource is good. And that's why, if you consider the table I showed earlier, these were among those that showed they were in a good position and were green. The sardine, the total biomass there during the November 2015 survey, estimated at 363,000 tons, which is well below the long-term average of 968,700 tons. Now, following the five successive years of poor recruitment, this has not been doing well over the past years. And as you can see, there has been a decline over the years. On the graph, the middle graph there, we can see this stock has been declining. When you go to red eye, which is in green there, total biomass in the November 2015 survey estimated 1.3 million tons, which is above long-term average of 967,200 tons. And again there, you can see a slight improvement as compared to the previous years. Slightly improved. We're currently running the 2016 pelagic spawner biomass survey, which will give us another data point that we can then use to compare with the information that we have currently to see whether there's an improvement or a decline. Now, this just summarizes the information I've given there. As you can see, the red there, being the sardines, showing signs of decline. The blue, as you can see, the middle part, the blue, previous years doing very, very well. And there, again, signs of decline towards the end. But with the round herring, you can see, yes, there has been good years of improvement, but towards the end, slight improvement between 2009 and 2012, and of course, decline between 2012 and 2015 slightly. But in the current, the results that we've gathered in some of the surveys, this year's initial surveys are indicating somehow that there is an improvement. We're hoping that the current spawner biomass survey will be able to give us more information that we can then use as a data point to indicate whether indeed the stock is going down or improving. All right. This is just the annual TACs vis-a-vis the catches given. As you can see, the top graph there showing the anchovy TAC and the catches vis-a-vis the catches. The middle graph TAC, the sardine, you can see indeed even the TAC has been going down, right? Because the catches themselves have been really bad. The TAC for the anchovy has been going down because when you do the stock assessment, it seems to indicate that there's been an improvement. When we go down to round herring, the TAC itself has been going down because of the signs that the stock has not been doing well, but we're hoping that the current results will assist us. Abalone On the other hand, this is one of those, unfortunately, that has been doing very badly. The resort has suffered serious decline over the years. And as we know, there was a closure of the resort at some stage, and the recreational fishery was closed in 2003. The commercial fishery was closed in 2008, and again reopened in 2010. With the hope that we'll be able to put in place some very stringent management measures and be able to find a way to curb the illegal fishing. The story here does not look good. As we continue with abalone, the assessments indicate that the resource continues to decline in these zones, that's Zone A and Zone B. Projections, again, show that the resource will continue to decline at the current rate of harvesting. So as we continue to harvest the current rate and battle to control the illegal fishing, the resource is unfortunately going to continue declining. Of course, the major contributor to the decline is illegal fishing. Now, projections further indicate recovery is possible, honorable members, if major reductions in illegal harvesting can be achieved. It's not all gloom and doom. If we can find a way of minimizing the impact of illegal harvesting, the resource can begin to improve yet again. Zones C and D, here the resource is also continuing to decline, again due to poaching, and also the incursion of the rock lobsters. Now, since the early 1990s, this has caused an ecosystem shift and a hampering recruitment of young abalone and compromising the ability of the resource to recover in those zones. Zones E, F, and G. Their resource indicator suggests no reason to change catch allocations in those areas. Estimates of possible stabilization in poaching over the last 2 years were noted in these zones. Why poaching somehow is stabilizing, we don't really know, but we think it's probably because of the efforts of the department to fight illegal fishing. Now, the natural productivity and reproduction are low here, and compromising the ability of the resource to recover in this zone. I think it's important, honorable members, to understand that there's something that we call the alley effect when it comes to abalone. Abalone are sedentary in nature and they don't move around. So it means for them to reproduce, they release the eggs and the sperms into the water. And those mix and allow for reproduction to take place. Now, the alley effect is when the distance between individuals that are capable to reproduce becomes too large to allow for reproduction to take place. That further makes it very difficult for the resource to recover because reproduction will take place at a very, very low rate. The other resource, very commercially important, the West Coast rock lobster. Now, the fishery generates around 260 million per year and employs around 4,200 people. Now, the fishery has traditionally focused on the West Coast, but resource shifts in the 1990s resulted in three new areas being opened up east of Cape Hanklin. Now, the fishery consists of the following sectors: the offshore commercial, which uses the traps as a means of fishing, and the inshore commercial, mostly the SMMEs, which use hoop nets. And of course, we have the interim relief and the recreational fishermen. Now, the declines in catches since the 1950s and 1960s have had a number of causes, including changes in fishing methods. These have contributed. The stricter control of the catches, have had declines in resource abundance. Unfortunately, the oscillations that you see there also due to the decline in the abundance of the resource. And the reduced growth rates, the more we catch the big adults who have the high capability to reproduce, unfortunately, the less will be the chances for reproduction to be maximized. Now, reduced growth rates as well have contributed to this, and indeed environmental changes. As you can see there, the stock has been declining. You can look at the catches. They have been declining over the years. Now, the resource is currently severely depleted. Look at that table that I showed earlier. The West Coast rock lobster is one of those in the red. And it is estimated that the resource is currently at 2.5% of pre-fished levels. The current recovery plan aims to recover the resource by 35% by 2021. That gives us 4.8% of pre-fished levels by 2021. Now, the department finds itself between a very hard rock and the deep blue, because right now we have to consider also our coastal communities who need to benefit from these resources. But at the same time, we have to consider preserving this very resource. And from a scientific perspective, the only means we know of preserving the resource, unfortunately, is to keep reducing the THC, which makes it difficult for us to consider some of the objectives that we have as government. This is indeed paradoxical and makes it very difficult to manage. The global THC for the 2015-16 season was set at 1,924 tons, in line with the recovery plans. Of course, this will make our fishing industry unhappy because you're reducing a resource they rely on. Concluding remarks, we have both bad and good news. We'll start with the bad. Many of our key resources, the fishery resources, have unfortunately been overfished in the past. Now, in particular, our nearshore resources, these are under pressure. Now, this is not because of the coastal communities that live there, not at all. As you can see, we're talking about the pressures that mostly were there in the past. That was when most of these communities were not even allowed to catch these resources. Now, these are at low levels, and this cannot be attributed, let me repeat, to the communities that live close to these resources. Our resources are therefore impoverished, and catches are often far less than they could be. There are lots of fishing pressures here. The good news, though, is that wild stocks, whether they are near shore or offshore, are not doomed to dwindle down to nothing. If we find ways, as we're doing currently in the department, of wisely managing these resources, they will recover. Our experience again, for example, with deep water hake, Melusius paradoxus, has shown us that recovery plans can provide positive results. Melusius paradoxus has improved. It's only capensis that we're busy working on now. This can lead to greater productivity of fish stocks and sustainable larger catches of certain resources. By implementing resource recovery plans, we can achieve gains that will make a significant positive contribution to food security and alleviating coastal poverty. Again, just would like to add that we have the ability to do this. But at the moment, many challenges, including the financing of some of the research that we do. Unfortunately, the country faces this financial challenge. Within the limits of what we can do as government, we doing the best research that we can as the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. And this, I can say with great confidence, is even commended by our peers in other parts of the world who don't even understand how we can do so much research with such limited funds. I thank you.
Any addition, DDG? DM?
Additions, no, but having gone through, going to flight 19, where they are concluding the bad news, the information that is not here, Chairperson, I would like to be put in here. Because a naughty junior official might use this information that says, in particular, our near shores resources are under extreme pressure, which begins to affect the nearby communities, as if that depleted by communities. That information to say is not the communities are not the reason. It's the big guys that start on the near shore and moving the inshore. I would like that information to come here so that this document is not abused at a certain point.
Honourable members, Honourable Matale, Honourable Wilson, Honourable Kongbrook, and Honourable Donald. Of Mapanga, or young blood, not God. You don't mind being a Pascal Greg. No. in that on our cover, in that order.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just to commend the department. At the department was presenting, I was asking myself, it looks like it's easy to know what is happening or how many fishes we have there. But at the same time, there is this contradiction that says we know so little about what is in the sea out there. So how do we balance the two? To what extent can we rely on what is presented, or what system are we using that makes us to be so confident that we have the accurate information before us? Because this, there is no alternative information to dispute that we know little about the sea. And I didn't get that sense as a presentation was made by the department, and I will be happy to get a comment that can help me to reconcile the two issues. Thank you, Chair.
Ono Mapanga. Oh, it was you first.
Yeah, you must.
Yeah, you are sitting very far. You must come this side. I must see you. Or you want to join the department?
Sorry?
You want to join the department as an official? I'm saying you want to join the department as an official.
I'm not a classist that draws distinction between officials and members.
Oh, that's good. Proceed.
I'm not a classist.
Proceed.
I leave it to you. Thank you very much, and thank you very much for the presentation. I'd just like to know. You mentioned there are recovery plans afoot to make sure that we recover our stocks. But you don't mention what these plans are. And
there's a suggestion or a recommendation that we reduce the amount of allocation by 15%, especially for tuna and that sort of thing. And as the Deputy Minister correctly said, it is not these subsistence fishes or the small-scale fishes that are responsible for depleting our stocks, bring it to the dire state that we're in. And I also don't think poaching can even reach that level. The biggest poachers are these multinational corporations that fish our seawater. Because, you know, if we were to accurately go and calculate the amount of fish that poachers take, it's a negligible amount. So how are we, when we do these allocations, are we making sure that we reduce the allocation of these big companies, or do we still maintain their allocations and just reduce the allocations to the small-scale fishes, to subsistence or the subsistence fishes or the recreational fishes, as opposed to, you know, just making sure that these big companies can get away with it and continuously deplete our resources. And I know that may not be something that has been going to be discussed here, but I just want to know that small-scale fishes, subsistence fishes, recreational fishermen are not going to suffer because of the greed of these big companies. Thank you very much.
Mapanga, Honorable. Turn your mic on.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the honorable members, the Deputy Minister, the DG, and the collective leadership of the department. Chairperson, let me firstly welcome the presentation. To me, Chair, it is an indication that the department is hard at work, making sure that they advance the National Democratic Revolution. I commend that. Chair, on slide 13, my question, Chair, is it's what impact did the closure have on the resources? On slide 15, and also on slide 14, what measures have the department put in place to curb this illegal harvesting? Then also on slide 19, what are the contributing factors and what plans are in place to promote and encourage the inshore fishery? I therefore submit, Chairperson. Thank
you. Honourable Youngblood.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you for getting my surname right this time. With reference to page 16 of the presentation and the bleak picture being painted by the officials about rock lobster and where they're at, I would like to know when the West Coast rock lobster attack is going to be announced. The season opened on the 1st of November already, and I'm aware that the delay is disrupting industry operations. So if they can give us an indication as to when it will be announced, and what are the chances of the tax being reduced once again. Then, I would also like to know, when is the department going to give us or coming to us with a proper policy approach to experimental fisheries? Now, I'm sorry I have to bring up the horse mackerel issue here again, because there are seem to be the impression that when I bring it up it's because I'm against transformation. And I want to put it on the record once again, I'm not against transformation. All I ever wanted to know was whether due process was followed. Now, when you look at experimental fisheries and the current approach to horse mackerel, it seems to me as though the views of the South African marine scientists, and I've had a look at what they've said about horse mackerel and experimental fishing, that it seems to be integrated or mixed with the Namibian example in order for us to achieve our objectives. Now, the horse mackerel catch rates has not improved over the 2015 season. When you look at the manner in which the horse mackerel industry had only been able to trawl and to land 19.5 of the tack. Then, going on in the same vein, I would like to know, when do you intend announcing or confirming the recommendations of this South African scientific working group, the department's scientific working group, in respect of the TAC or the TAE to be declared for commercial fisheries in commercial fishery sectors in 2017? And there again, I am particularly interested in knowing West Coast rock lobster issue. Now, as far as abalone is concerned, we see on a daily basis how abalone is being poached and how when these people appear in court, they are arrested, they appear in court and they get a little rap on the knuckles. In most cases, when they are convicted in court, they get things like community service. And if you compare it to what is happening in the rhino poaching sector, it is actually quite shocking that the one resource is being allowed to be destroyed in the manner in which it is. And it's a resource. The abalone resource is a resource that people can make a living out of. I don't know how you make a living out of rhinos. I mean, you can't slaughter a rhino every day or cut it up, and except when you take the horns and export it illegally. So what the department has indicated that they are going to strengthen the Marine Living Resources Act to plug the holes as far as the manner in which abalone poachers are being dealt with. And I would like to know, how far is that process? And then lastly, I want to go to the bad news you are talking about. And it looks terrible if you see that everything is overfished and near source resources are under extreme pressure, and I take note of what the DM said with respect to it's not the fisherman that's doing it. Now, there's been great expectations about the small-scale fisheries plan. how on earth are you going to meet those expectations if this is the picture that you're giving us? I think that is it for now. Thanks.
Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Chair, although this presentation was a bigger picture of our situation with our fisheries, please allow me just to be a little bit specific, and especially on the abalone in the Klein Brakrivier area. Now, personally, saw for many years how that abalone was, I can only use the one word, ripe. The ocean was ripe of abalone in that area. And apparently the person that's doing this got a permit to do that. He inherited it apparently from his father, and his father inherited it from his father. And so, Chair, I want to ask the department if they can investigate it, because there's nothing left in that area anymore. And it used to be, you know, quite a lot of abalone in that area. So, so sorry about the specific, but I think that's a huge area, and as I say, there's nothing left anymore. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Kappa.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also echo the sentiment of my colleagues in appreciating the presentation of the status of the abalone. It does give the impression that work is being done and people know what they are doing. And what I also noted there is a unique approach that usually when you get graphs, here you get graphs in several ways. You get graphs where they go up for negative, and others, in other ways they go up for positive. But it tells you that what is being done there is known. But I also note that the presentation comes with within the terms of agriculture. Usually they come, they tell you, they give you acronyms at the beginning of their presentations. But it does seem that in this case they have to give you terms instead of acronyms, so that in the process you get educated in their scientific terms. And also I found in another situation where the explanation was it was interesting and informative, but it was seeming also that if those colors, they just omitted giving the legend of those colors, but otherwise it was informative enough. And now on that part of the abalone in page in the slide 15, it does seem that there is that problem with the reproductivity being affected. Truly, it's a tenet of human beings in conception that when we hunt, we look for the best. We don't know that maybe the best are the best for reproduction. We think they are the best for our consumption. But now, I just wonder if maybe there's anything that can be influenced there that is so that it cannot. It is money for it to continue like that, the situation of the abalones. And lastly, I also would have thought that it would be interesting that they end the presentation with some recommendations of the issues. That, otherwise, to me, that's the situation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. I will try to go overarching and then specifics the officials will get. It's an interesting question, the first question. It looks like we have a lot of knowledge, which is a little knowledge. I think that's what the member is saying. Seems to be very But when you scrutinize the knowledge, you feel Uti is a little knowledge. What can be done? That's one question asked. I think one question is the budget. It's one big area. Time and again, as the presentation was made by the chief director, raised the issue of the budget. The budget has been cut in a big way, and then whenever the budget is cut, you cut the capabilities of doing the job. So we would love to put that on the table. Indeed, I would agree that maybe we are not near to what we should be knowing and arming ourselves in that knowledge, but the equipment for that would be the budget. Surely, with the collaborations with the other institutions, your universities, international institutions, and all that. So it's important, but the point I want to make is the budget. So, Pastor, I want to go to this coaching. The big victim here is this abalone. I have asked this question, I want to repeat it. Who here has had the dish of abalone? Here, as was said, that has gone, I mean in South Africa, not going to Japan to have it. Here in South Africa, who has had the dish of abalone? To go to the restaurant and say, please give me abalone. I haven't. I think even this one who's raising the hand is somewhere outside the country. Now, we have this highly, highly valuable species that we have little knowledge about, but is highly poached, highly stolen, and in the main in the criminal channels of the world. A few months back, there was a big announcement by this police international body, Interpol, of the intercepted huge of them entering, I'm not going to mention the country, but South Asia. Huge carriers that were going in that country. Well, maybe using the experience of both worlds, where I am and where I come from, is an issue that we took up very serious in that era. I don't know now, Chairperson. We took that very serious as the South African police, because most of the things that are happening here are beyond the Department of Agriculture, are crimes. Now, the Constitution does tell us who is responsible of reducing and fighting crime, per se. I don't know. Maybe because it's us who suffer in agriculture, maybe we do need, again, to make a lead with the law agencies to say, can you take up this matter? I don't want to say as it was taken up, and it was taken up in a very serious way. Otherwise, people don't see it as a prime crime to be dealing with, rather than your cash heist, your shooting, your murders, and all that. Maybe we do need to punch more energy to say it's a billion crime, billions and billions crime. So let South Africa work on it. But Jefferson, it's a cancer that is huge on corruption. It's one area where a certain lord is arrested and is kept in the storeroom, and the tomorrow is clean. The storeroom is clean. From our staff would not know where it went to. So it needs a lot of cleaning in terms of security, intelligence, and otherwise. I don't know whose budget is that, but it becomes a crime and it should be dealt as such under crime. So I would maybe say this department must lead in saying to the departments responsible as Honorable Jongbloed has said, to say you commit a billion rand crime and you are giving the community service kind of. So I think the whole sector at a certain given point will have to take it very seriously. So last point here, I don't want to dwell on this point because the minister has answered this point of this horse market. I hope at a certain given point we'll shut this point. Chairperson, minister did raise that it's upon the ministers by law, MLR Act, that the minister can do or can do with regard of experiments. He has answered that. Until you change that law, it is so. And it is so, and the law forms and acts as a policy. You don't need the policy because the minister does take. The last point, I heard Honorable Member saying is not because it's against transformation. I believe so. But this kind of experimental is not for the first time. What is first time about it is that it has been given to a black person. That's what is the first time about it. It has been there all the time given to the white companies. And there's been never noise about it. So I just hope that we accept that here we are, has been given to this black person. We hope we achieve what we're supposed to achieve with it, and we go forward. And I would make a call that let's argue on his technical abilities, not whom it has been given to. Let's, because it's not the first time. We act as if it has never happened before. It has been happening all the time. But with the white companies, I'm urging that let's allow this company to do the job and assess them on their technical abilities. Are they doing the job? And we fight it on that. It looks like we spend more time on who has been given to. It has been done many a times before. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We will go with this in the sequence that they were asked. First, the comments from DM. Thank you very much, DM, for that. And also your indication about on the good news story, how we pitch the issue there in terms of not showing as if the communities are the ones that are depleting the resource. That wisdom is well taken. And we'll ensure we do so. Honorable Matale, on the issue about legal knowledge that you are raising, it's a very important question. How do we then, with confidence, say how we can harvest now? When Justice was presenting, he made mention continuously on what is called maximum sustainable yield. Now the challenge is understandably is that we can't see in the ocean. So even though we go to sea and do these surveys, we can't really count all the fish there is. But we do estimate, for instance, when we go to sea, we put out the net, it comes back with fish. We weigh all the fish that the net comes with because it gives us an indication on the health of the fish that is there. So what we do with this fish, we open the fish, the intestines, we look the fat content in the fish, we measure the length of the fish, we measure the weight of the fish, and then we use mathematical models to plot that if in this net, 80% of the fish that you caught in this net was this length, was this heavy, had this fat content, was looking in this manner, then we use those mathematical models to estimate that if you can fish at least 10,000 of this fish out of the water, we are sure that there is some fish that will be left for reproduction. So these are estimates that we do. And what we do is that if we think that 10,000, I'm trying to simplify it as much as possible. Now, if we say, for instance, 10,000 you can take out and there will be fish in the water, we don't set people to harvest all the 10,000. We do a yield to say, let's take a precautionary measure. For instance, we then will set the TAC, for instance, to 8,000 so that we make sure that although there is some degree of certainty that you can take 10,000, but we don't want people to go to that maximum. So it's like the money, when you deposit your money in the bank, you know that there is capital that is there, it generates an interest. At the same time, you don't, you, while you eat on the interest, you may take on the original capital, but the more you take on the capital, the less interest it is going to generate. So you limit yourself how much that money you can take out with certainty that it's still, you're still going to be generating the interest. So what I'm trying to say is that, yes, there is a degree of confidence using the mathematical modeling and the evidence that we draw out of the water when we do these research surveys, but it is not absolute. What I'm saying is that it is not definite that indeed it can be 10,000. Hence, we take precautionary and we set the TACs lower than what we think can happen. The other thing that assists us to reach this certainty is to regulate the mesh size of the net. So when the net is like this, when it gets in the water, it forms something like a diamond. We call this the mesh size of the net. Now, what we do when we measure this fish, the length, the weight, you can make an estimate that a certain fish that is the length of X length is definitely going to be retained by the net, and your smaller fish is going to get out of the net, so that you make sure that you keep that cycle of reproduction. So all that we do also, we look at the size of the nets that can be used to make sure that these nets are retaining big fish that are adults and at the same time are letting off of some of the fish. So it's a thin balance. It is estimates all the time. It is never absolute. On the question that Honorable Paulson asked, the recovery plans, what are they, what do they contain? The recovery plans are a combination of many things. For instance, if the fish stock is too little, like it's really in danger on that the graph that Justice showed, Kobe plot, if it is really in problems, we do a combination of things. One immediate thing, of course, is to reduce the amount that can be taken out of the water. So inevitably, you reduce the TAC. Because as I've explained, with the money that you have deposited, if you take too much, it gets little. So you reduce what you take out. So the recovery plans are a combination of reducing the TAC so that you keep some fish in the water for X number of time so that they can have an opportunity to reproduce. The second other thing that the recovery plans look at is to look at the biology of the fish, because some fish take 8 years to grow. Abalone, for instance, fully 8 years to grow. Hake is a long-lived species, about 15 years. Small pelagics, your anchovies, about 6 months. They are short-lived. So you look also on the biology of the fish. If it is a species that comes quick, fast, if it takes long time to reproduce, you look at the combination of controlling the fishing season so that you make sure that during the time they are spawning, you protect that area so that there is legal fishing that happens there. You also look at, as well, maybe closing certain areas, which we call marine protected areas. Now, from a fisheries management point, marine protected areas are only used for a short-term period to protect the stock, like in breeding seasons, for instance. Then you open it. Now, so it's a combination of those things, but the recovery plan sets to tell you that in X number of years, maybe by 2020, we want this resource to have improved. So let's reduce the fishing pressure in it. Let's also reduce other mortalities. Mortalities is death. Death in fishing, we call it mortality. So there's other mortality in the ocean. The other mortality is by fishing, but there are other mortalities that are done, for instance, maybe by pollution, that are done by other activities that happen in the ocean, so that we try and regulate those in order to make sure that we protect the space. Unfortunately, poaching is part of the big challenge. Honorable Paulson, can you go to slide 15, Justice? The reason why poaching is a big component, in particular for a species, Justice explained, you see, that's the abalone there. Abalone is a sedentary species. It's not mobile. It sticks there. It does not move. To harvest that thing, you have to use a kind of a chisel kind of a thing. But now, if you look there, that green part and the other purplish part there is part of the whole ecosystem. So that's the environment they live in. Now, the problem with poachers is that they are rushing for time, they must not be caught, and they don't necessarily give much regard to the environment. So a poacher there will come, do a quick job there, will scrape, and when they are scraping, they may scrape everything that you see there, all that orange you see there, all that purple that you see there. That is then destroying the habitat, and it is then directly affecting the reproduction that can happen there and how soon that stock can recover. As Justice mentioned, these abalone, when they lay eggs and sperm, they need not to be too far from each other. Now, if a poacher has come and destroyed and with no regard to anything, you might find that it's completely empty, a whole patch, and those things they stick to are all gone. So that's the challenge that is brought by poaching. Unfortunately, it's a big problem. Honorable Maphanga, the matter that you are raising, Honorable, is very critical. The reason why abalone was reopened, the fishery, was basically that we found that there was no impact, actually, that was being caused by the closure. Initially, the closure, when it happened in 2008, on the commercial sector, it was meant to reduce poaching. Now, evidence showed us, there's a scientist in the department who went to Hong Kong during the period that the abalone fishery in South Africa was closed. In the streets in Hong Kong, she found volumes of the abalone that came from South Africa. And the markets there were proving that there was not even a disruption in the supply of the abalone that was coming to Asia, coming from South Africa. And that really proved that, therefore, there was really not much impact the closure was doing into that. In terms of illegal harvesting itself, it was still harvested, it was still going to the markets. However, there is some evidence that at least there is some ecological improvement that was happening within certain other species, because now poachers were focusing on certain areas and not looking. So those areas that were not heavily poached, there was a sign that there was some improvement there that was happening with regards to the habitat. The measures that we put in place to curb IUU, which is illegal, unreported, and unregulated fisheries, is a combination of things. I think we presented the previous time to the portfolio committee on the efforts and the number of cases that we have seen in this financial year alone, the work that the department does under the security cluster, under Operation Pagesa. So there is quite an improved effort that we are putting in place. But as DM was pointing, it does not really become enough, because the budget may not necessarily be enough. And as he correctly puts it, is that these environmental crimes are not necessarily pitched at a level that really they should be pitched at. And the sentences are also very, 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 very low in terms of what happens with regards to that. How do we encourage and how we plan to encourage the participation by communities? That was your other question, Honorable Maphanga. We can gladly report to the portfolio committee that, and fortunately, I think I've seen Mr. Jeremy here from Fish SA. We have had discussions with all the CEOs of the big companies that are harvesting fishing resources offshore and nearshore. The plan is to get out the big companies out of the nearshore resources so that the nearshore resources are primarily reserved for the participation of the fishing communities and SMMEs only. So that is one thing that we are doing, Honorable Mapang, because unjustifiably so, currently you have big companies that are operating in a wide spectrum of these resources. They fish offshore, they come near shore, they fish literally everything. Now it's very important that when we provide access, we make sure we do a distinction so that the near shore resources are left to the small operators and to the communities. And I think by so doing, DM, we will also improve the stock status, because small operators are not going to be as highly intensive in terms of the technology that is used, destruction that is being used currently, because they are going to be a little bit reasonable when they do the fishing. And I think that will contribute significantly to the stock recovery. I will leave the rest of the issues to Justice to respond to. I think this DM has already responded to the issue of the horse mackerel. Just maybe to add on the issue of horse mackerel, Honorable Youngwood mentioned the issue of the low catch rate of the horse mackerel, and I'm not very sure if the data there is correct. But however, it is worth mentioning that currently the predominant vessel that was allowed to fish the horse mackerel was the Desert Diamond, which also has got a quota in Namibia. So if you see their catches in South Africa being low, it does not mean there is no fish in the South African water. It also simply can mean that Desert Diamond wants to finish their bigger quota they have in Namibia, because the same vessel fish in Namibia and it fishes in South Africa. So their preference may be to finish their quota first in Namibia, because it is bigger in Namibia than it is in South Africa. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I will tackle the question that was asked by Honorable Youngblood concerning the TAC for West Coast Rock Lobster, asking when this would be announced. This has indeed been signed off, and we are currently in the process of gazetting this, and shortly the fishermen should be able to go and fish.
Do you have specific dates? Because shortly can mean a lot of things.
In terms of announcing the TAC, Chair, that should be today, but then we need to go through the process of gazetting this so that fishermen could actually go and fish. The other question had to do with the possible reduction of the TAC. Indeed, the resource is under pressure, and from a scientific perspective, we always find it easier to reduce the TAC in order to assist the stock to recover. We are currently finalizing calculations with regard to this very issue, especially when it comes to the long-term approach. At the moment, we believe that it could be somehow detrimental to come up with massive cuts, but we are looking at possible smaller reductions in the next year or two. Smaller reductions, but not massive cuts. The approach is taken by the department to consider inshore resources and to allow the bigger companies to focus elsewhere, will also
reduce the pressure to some extent and allow the stock to recover. We believe that will work. It's a strategy that will bear fruit, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So we just noticed that there were other issues that we have not responded to with regards to the question that was raised by Honorable Kruger. We appreciate this information. He indicates here that this person is a legal harvester, so he has got a right. And this is one of the issues, Chair, we have been saying that sometimes when people think poachers, as DM was saying also, they think the communities. You also have legal people who have got the legal rights but who also do illegal stuff. We would really appreciate the information. We will talk with him after this session so that we get the details of this so that we can pass it on to our group that deals with the specific investigations. But it will be very helpful to be given that information, Chair. Honorable Kapa, we thank you for the comments that you have made. We will seek to improve the way of how we present and how we put these matters on the slides. You have indicated that it would be better if we could have come up with recommendations, and perhaps it is opportune, Chair, to come to indicate one of the recommendations. It's not all. Because DM has indicated with the regards to the issue of the budget. Currently, we are spending 181 million rands per annum on the vessels, both the research vessels and the compliance vessels, 181 million. We have six vessels. Two are for research and four are for compliance. Now, we know and understand that with the pressure on fiscal, it may not be realistic to expect that although we are doing good with the liquor, that we must get more. There is two options, Honorable Chair and members, that we are pondering upon. The first option is an option that was discussed by Minister. I'm sorry that I'm going to be saying it on his behalf in his absence, but Minister had a discussion with the Minister of Namibia Fisheries and Marine Resources last week on Friday, because South Africa, Namibia, and Angola, they are both, these three countries are in the Benguela current upwelling system. One of the things that the ministers discussed there was to look at joint research surveys between South Africa and Namibia, because currently these two vessels, they do research until the border of Namibia. The Namibians, with their own research vessels, they start from Namibia until the border with Angola. But you find that some of the species are shared between the countries. As Honorable Youngblood pointed out, the possibility of the shared stock of horse mackerel between Namibia and South Africa, the stock of hake that is shared between South Africa and Namibia. Now, the thing there that is being considered is that we use one vessel to do research in South Africa. It goes until Namibia, so that you only change crew in between the research stations. That, Honorable Chair, will cut our operational budget by half at least, because we will be sharing the research costs with the Namibians, because over and above that, we use the money for the vessel to fill up the diesel, the crew that has to be there. Even the scientists, our scientists, if they have to be at sea for 3 weeks, we have to pay them their salaries, we have to pay them sea going allowance, we have to pay them sea danger allowance. Those costs become very, very, very huge, and they work overtime as well. So that will significantly reduce the cost. So that's part of the recommendations that I think perhaps we could be looking at. Currently, we are working between the scientists in South Africa and Namibia to look at research survey designs and see how this in practice can happen. Has this happened before, Honorable Chairperson? Yes, it did happen. The Norwegian vessel, the Dr. Fridtjof Nansen, used to do research in our region from South Africa until Morocco, if you were. So these joint research surveys have been done in the past, and we think they will benefit us significantly. The second recommendation, Chair, that perhaps we could look at when we talk about this is a very important one, Chair. Currently, as much as we spend this 181 million to generate the data, it is so sad to learn that we give this data for free. One may say, yes, we are a government department, we generate this for distribution, but what happens is that universities, they request this data from us to use it for their own research publications and everything. Now, what is an anomaly, in my view, is that we use so much money to generate this data, and we give it to UCT for 65 rands. I'm not joking when I'm saying 65 rands, because that's as little as what they would pay when they submit a request of information, or they pay until 260 rands. We release the information to them. So I think one of the things that we may look at is to utilize this research data. Not that we want people to pay the full amount, but I think it is not reasonable that we must release this data at such low cost when government has generated it with such huge cost, Chair. So we could look at a model or at a scale that we can utilize when people want to get this, in particular those who publish, because people who publish with the data, they get some money from publishing research papers, in particular from peer-reviewed journals. They get money. So it could be that once a person requests our data, they get money from publishing it. A certain percentage of that comes back at least to the department. Thank you, Chair.
Just three quick ones. The first question which I would want to pose to yourselves, are there inshore resources that have been reserved to accommodate small-scale fishers? If yes, just extend that to us. Second one, in your introduction, I'm not sure whether I heard you correctly. You said the data that you are providing is the 2014, 2015, not 2016. Is that what you said? If you said so, you can then just explain to us as to what is the situation with the 2016 data. Now, having received the answer from the Deputy Minister and yourself, DDG, on the poaching of abalone, I'm getting worried, because previously you had said through Operation Pakisa, you are working together with other departments, including the South African Police Service. And this department, when you reported to the committee, you said you want to reduce poaching by 15%. So, if you are saying it appears as though the South African Police Service is not taking the abalone poaching as serious as the rhino poaching, then it means it might be very difficult for us to reduce it by 15%, and which is a target which you have set that is yourselves. So it means we don't have a sea-based law enforcement, and we'll have to work on that one. Because if we are to achieve this target and so on and so forth, without a sea-based law enforcement, it's going to be very difficult. So I'm going to say that it will be important for you as a department, go and interact with the law enforcement agencies and say this is serious, this is what you want to do, and so on, and report back to this committee and say we've discussed with them and so on, this is the situation. We understand that there is a problem of resources, the budget is very limited, it's only 6 billion and so on and so forth, but we'll have to try to do more with less. We don't have an option, unfortunately. The third question which I would want to raise, it is a little bit different from what the Honorable Youngblood raised about the horse mackerel. Do you have information about Osmakarel? Do we have it? If we don't have it, let's say so. If we have it, is it reliable? the information that you have at your disposal. There's one resource which you did not speak about, the soul resource. Do you do regular surveys on the soul resource? Is it there? If yes, can you share it with us? Any other question on our members, on our young blood?
Thank you, Chair. Just following on your question, Chair, about the small-scale fisheries and inshore fishing and those that you asked, I would like to know from the DDG, of the 25, which I think she said, species in 22 fisheries, how much have you reserved for small-scale fisheries? And then I got communication from the Eastern Cape Divers and Fishers Forum. Now, we've been on an oversight visit there last year, and they raised a number of issues that they have with corruption in previous experimental allocations, and they were unhappy with the manner in which they were being served by the local office. And that was subsequently followed up by a meeting with the minister, and the DDG was there and other high-ranking officials. The department then issued a statement on the 15th of April this year, in which they undertook to do certain things. They were going to train the people, they were going to help them, they were going to equip them to be able to participate in a meaningful manner in fisheries. Nothing has happened. The department hasn't gone back to them, and as a result of that, the fishermen, I do not know how many of them, they started a hunger strike on the 7th of November. I would like to know, is the department aware of these people, these people's hunger strike? What are they doing about it? And have they, since the 7th, when this hunger strike started, have they been in contact with this Fishers Forum? Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Just one addition on the Eastern Cape quickly. The abalone viability experiment in the Eastern Cape, which you were supposed to complete in 2015. Have you completed it? What is the status currently? You can answer.
I'll try to take two. The poaching again. Yes, Jefferson, Operation Pakisa, everybody is there. By the way, the poaching is huge inshore and outshore. But as you remember, some few months we had to chase many vessels using one vessel. I think there were nine vessels. So if you are using one, you will catch one out of seven. Otherwise, you just go and on it. I think the enhancement and strength is looked at that level, even where there is one of the biggest capacities and capabilities on the sea is the Navy. So they will look at that. So maybe the smaller one like this one, which has huge economical input, goes through the sieve, goes through the spaces that we are not looking at. That's why, Shepherdson, it's important that your suggestion of picking it up there at that level must happen. As I'm saying to you, in my previous life, we worked on it with serious roadblocks, with teams specializing on the, and the yields were very high in terms of the arrest and stopping. Maybe we need to leave that to say, with all Operation Pakisa, can we have this specific dealing with this matter? I think that kind of advice will be taken and begin to speak, especially with the South African police. But within the budget, as you say, maybe we do increase our own capacity as a department to see on that we do take care of take care of. Eastern Cape, you did, if I could go back to Mrs. Yongbrook, you did not talk about Eastern Cape Black Fishermen Association. Yeah, you talk about, if you give the name.
It is, well, it's called the Eastern Cape Divers and Fishers Forum.
Yeah.
There's another. The information concerns both the Eastern Cape Divers and Fishers Forum and the Shorter Course in Action Group Committee.
And the Eastern Cape Black Fishers Forum. So you don't have information about those?
No.
Okay. Chair President, I've had 3 or 4 meetings on this matter. After the minister had the meeting. This group was one group, and they've broken in the middle. To have that would be more dominated by Africans in the area and that dominated by colored fishermen and African fishermen. The dominated by colored fishermen, they've seen the minister. I've seen, since I was approached in July to work on the matter, they have had these 3 meetings. But also, I have had 1 meeting with this other group that you talk about. Out of 4 meetings, at the present moment, we are preparing for big imbizo in Eastern Cape on fisheries. We have agreed going forward that there will be this big imbizo. Big imbizo because the real problem is about, it starts with fishermen who go to the sea and get robbed, stay there several days, up to 21 days, and get a 0000 payment as they come outside, and many other things. We have pulled together staff, we have pulled together labor, we have pulled together public works, because there is a huge report that has been given where people got injured there, and there was a shortcoming in producing the report of those injuries. So that report has been put there. We have discovered that there is a huge legislative gaps where things are not known who does what. It's not DAF, it's not your law enforcement, it's not your labor. So in between the sea and outside. What I want to say here, anyone who goes for any other activity would be unfair because so much effort with the culmination wanted that imbizo to be in October. But DAF working with a special labor have discovered that it won't help if the fishermen, people that go to the sea for a long time, are not part of it. So they are out between October, so it was too close to tell them, and they are out again in March, all of them. Hence the March has been put, hence the imbizo has been put to bring March to try and find the answer once and for all, including the divisions that have happened themselves, the fishermen, along some form of the racial basis. They are helped by the research unit of the University of Nelson Mandela, so we work with them, all of us. So I would say, don't think that thing is on the hands, and really the department, the government on this, even pulling other departments together, the government is working on the matter.
Thank you very much, Chair. And
my question was whether the department is aware of the hunger strike and are they doing anything to intervene?
also there's a hunger strike by fishermen. Maybe what we can do, let's allow the DDG to answer and the chief director. Then if you are not covered in those answers, we'll then make a follow-up. Otherwise, we'll get into trouble. DDG?
Thank you very much, Chair. Perhaps maybe let me just start with this issue. I received a WhatsApp message from a number 078-334-9137. Honorable Youngblood, I don't know if maybe this is the person that you have been communicating about. The message reads, Chair, Hi, Honorable DDG, today we are in our sixth day without food. We are prepared to pay with our lives to ensure our fisher folk is granted permits, which is long overdue. I respond to the fisherman and I say, as you are aware that we are finalizing the West Coast Rock Lobster permits, I am not sure which permits you are talking about. Can you kindly provide me with the information who you are, where you are, and what the matters are? He responds to say, I understand you, leader, that you are busy with the matter of the West Coast Rock Lobster, and we understand is much more complex. What happens in PE DAF is cahoots with subs, Richard Clark's henchmen, and the rest is the reason why we are concerned about what is happening here. This is not a fight against you. It is in quest of the lives and the livelihoods of our people. I respond, Chairperson, I am still not clear what it is you are referring to. Please provide me with all the information, or I can call you when I'm done with the meeting. His response was, we have all the evidence, video footage included, and just are waiting for a press conference. We will bring you up to speed later in the day. That was the messages I had in conversation with this person, Chair. I do think this is one of the people that are involved in this matter. What I'm trying to bring here is the complexity of the issues we are dealing with. Because we are prepared to listen to the people. I asked him, he is telling me they are waiting for the press conference. Then they will update us later. So I'm saying, Chair, once we get all the details of what is happening with regards to this matter, we are available and willing to deal and address the issues. The issue that Honorable Youngblood referred to about the visit to Port Elizabeth, I'm not going to repeat what the DM has said. DM has personally been there four times with the officials of the department. The issue around the training of the people, Chairperson, DAF does not train people on sea safety, does not train people. That is why we have called SAMHSA, which is the South African Maritime Safety Authority, who are prepared to put programs that will assist the divers, one, in terms of helping them with the classification, because there is a certain level of a certificate that you must have as a diver to qualify as a diver. So arguing the fact that the people need to be trained, we can't argue that, Chair. They need to be trained because most of them are just from experience diving, but they've never really done the certification and the courses. SAMHSA has agreed that they will jointly, looking at that with the department, come up with a program. It needs financing. We are still looking at the options, how that can be financed. But the issue that we have not returned to the people, Chair, I don't think it is entirely accurate. Let me come, Chair, to the questions that were raised with regards to the inshore resources. How much is reserved? I think it is worth also explaining this, Chair. We are not able to just wake up and make a split that this fish must go to the communities, this must go to commercial. Unfortunately, we get tied to the years, which I think is something that really warrants discussion. Now we allocate fishing rights in 2013, and they are valid for 8 years.
Now, those people you have granted the right to get to get the allocation. After 8 years, you get an opportunity to allocate fishing rights. So this is what we have done as the department to say, every time we are allocating fishing rights, we must make reserve for communities. Currently, Chair, we are busy allocating rights in 10 sectors. Of these 10 sectors, small scale and the communities are not impacted on the some of these sectors. I will mention which sectors this. On the tunas, for instance, there is no small fishing community cooperative that can participate in a tuna. You need a vessel to go and catch offshore and outside of the exclusive economic zone of South Africa. It's capital intensive, so they are not impacted with that. The second sector, Chairperson, was the hake inshore trawl. They also are not impacted by that because it is also further offshore. There is no interest for community cooperatives in that sector. The third sector, Chair, is the sector of the Patagonian toothfish, which is also very much offshore and to the Prince Edward Island, which is very far from Cape Town. That also, they are not impacted with that sector. The KZN Beach Seine, the small-scale fishing community cooperatives have a huge interest and are impacted with that. That is why when we announced the results, I think if the honorable members on our website, www.staff.gov.za, we have published there the results, and we have published also the general published reasons why we have split and allocated the way we have allocated. So if one checks there, all fishing cooperatives in KZN are going to get an allocation for the beach seine, a KZN beach seine check. The fifth sector is the seaweed. We have 23 sites that harvest seaweed or where seaweed can be harvested. Of the 23, 15 are reserved for small scale, including blowback, by the way, DM. And in blowback, Chair, I must indicate that there is a challenge there that the city of Cape Town does not allow our people to go and harvest the seaweed there. But what the city of Cape Town gladly does is to employ a service provider for 1 million rand per annum to collect the seaweed that is washed in the beach, and they go and burn it. Small-scale fishers that have been granted access to harvest in that area, they can't access the beach because they are prohibited from doing so. So I think that is one very important thing we must also indicate, that while we grant these rights, there is an also issue of accessibility to the beach itself by the city of Cape Town, in Blowback in particular. The sixth sector, Chairperson, that we are currently allocating is the one that focuses on the horse mackerel itself. In the horse mackerel, again, we do not have an interest there for small scale because it is far off the sea. The two sectors that are important for the communities is the West Coast rock lobster. Currently, there is an exemption under the provisions for the allocations. So those people who held the rights are currently harvesting the rock lobster. As Justice was mentioning, that today the announcement of the TAC is going to be made. However, because Northern Cape has finished the verification, and Northern Cape has a provisional list, and they are going to be able to participate as small-scale fishers. So a 39-ton has been set aside over and above the interim relief. 39-ton has been set aside for the two fishing communities over and above what gets under the 265-ton of the lobster. That's what has been set aside. The reason why we are not able to set aside the TAC for lobster for Western Cape in particular is the fact that the verification for the fishers in Western Cape is not yet complete. So by the time the fishing season finishes, the cooperatives will not be there. But on the 2017-18 fishing season, we would have completed the process
of allocating the fishing rights in the West Coast Rock Lobster. And again, Chair, I must emphasize, we are taking out big companies in harvesting West Coast Rock Lobster so that that lobster must go to the communities. No less than 60% of the total TAC of the lobster is not going to go to the small-scale fishing cooperatives. The sector that also the small-scale is concerned about is the abalone chain. Tying that, that's why I wanted us to go back to these four scenarios in this graph. With the abalone also, we are setting aside a TAC that is going to go for small-scale. Because if you look at those graphs, those four scenarios there, the red line there is the red line that talks to the poaching only, the harvesting that is coming out of the poaching. Now, the challenge, Chair, is that the 15% that we have indicated on was a tool. After we have looked at the scenarios, we thought that we would make an improvement in the stock if we can reduce it at least by 15% poaching. And you are correct, Chair. The most important part we need to focus on is the sea, because it is that the animals must not leave the water. Once we confiscate, it's a lost battle already because the fish is already left the water. So you are very correct that our intensity, among other things, needs to be the sea-based so that it's kind of preventative rather than being reactive when you chase people and try to confiscate. And as DM has talked about the efforts that are being put in place there and try and deal with that issue. Chair, you also asked about the sole. Very interesting question you are asking about the sole, because we have had a discussion whether the sole should not be a fully-fledged fishery of its own. The challenge with that, Chair, is that currently sole is caught in association with other fish. Was when you set out this net, it catches mainly, if you're targeting hake, it will catch hake, it will catch some sole, it will catch some king clip, it will catch some monk, it will catch some variety of line species, and in particular, the nice fish in Cape Town, the snook, as well in the net. Now, we do not have a specified technology or a specified fishery or a net designed specifically to target sole, because it may be not very easy to just target the sole, because as I say, it exists in association with other fish species that I have mentioned. So they get caught within the net. But it does not mean that we may not do a focus experiment, perhaps, to somebody who could be willing to come up and look at a particular net or a particular method that can look at just targeting the sole. We have received currently, Chair, two applications from members of the public in South Africa who want to be given an opportunity to look at the experiment with regards to the sole, because currently, as I say, it is caught in association. I think, Chair, there is an opportunity for sole to become a specific fishery in South Africa, but of course with limited data, and depending if we are going to allow these people to do the experiment, which is going to depend solely on the hands of the minister. As the deputy minister has indicated, that the act currently allows the minister to grant permission on any kind of an experiment. But I think there is an opportunity for sole. On the issue of horse mackerel, Chair, I am sad to say, indeed, we do not have information on the horse mackerel. There is two reasons why we don't have information on this. It's because, one, we don't do stock assessment on horse mackerel. The two vessels that we are having, one is a pelagic, is for pelagic surveys, which is mainly its technology focuses on the fish near the surface, which is your pilchards, your anchovies, and the herring. The second research vessel that we are having, Chair, is meant to do demersal surveys, which is targeting the bottom kind of fish. Horse mackerel is caught with a mid-water trawler, which is something between the pelagic and between the demersal. So we don't have that specific type of a vessel to do those kind of surveys. That's the reason why we don't have the information. And it is also the reason why the department allows an experiment, so that if there is somebody who can do a targeted experiment on that, so that we kind of get the information, then we are able to do so. The second one, Chair, is also because since 2005 and now, unfortunately, for some reason, one vessel was allowed to harvest the horse mackerel in our waters. Only the Desert Diamond was only allowed. It was the major one that was allowed, meaning that other people who also wanted to harvest the horse mackerel had to use that particular vessel to harvest. And that posed a challenge, because obviously if you had had three vessels at least, you would even have to have comparative information that would have been coming out of that. But in this allocation, Chair, that we have announced last week, Friday, we are changing that completely. We're not going to have one vessel in this water, and we are not going to have an exclusive right to certain individuals to harvest this kind of resource. We are hoping that we can then be able to draw information from the other vessels that are harvesting this resource. But over and above, because we will be doing joint surveys with Namibia, because Namibia does targeted surveys on the horse mackerel, that vessel of Namibia research survey will also be able to come within our waters so that we can have scientific data on the horse mackerel. Thank you, Chair.
Viability of abalone in the Eastern Cape?
For the horse mackerel, Chair?
No, abalone.
Oh, the experiment, sorry, thank you. The experiment on the abalone, Justice, I think you can respond better.
Thank you, DDG. Thank you, Chair. The experiment on abalone in the Eastern Cape ended towards the end of 2015, last year. But unfortunately, it was mixed up with a whole lot of things, because some of the participants were conducting evil activities. They were illegally harvesting this very abalone. So that had a negative impact in terms of which of the data we're looking at was really, really, really real data, or which of these was mixed with a whole lot of illegal stuff. So at the moment, there are meetings going on, and there's an investigation going on concerning this very matter. But from the scientific side, together with the resource management team, they are pursuing having meetings with communities in order to discuss this further. But as an experiment, it looks like it will not fit within the levels of our definition of an experiment to be regarded as a conclusive experiment, because of the portion dealing with the legal part of things. The meetings concerning this very matter and the recommendations will give us direction in terms of how to go forward, but it's a likelihood we may have to do it again. Thank you, Chair.
Members, I'm now taking the last round. Any other question or comment? It seems members are happy. Honorable Kruger?
I'm sort of happy, but I think that the department can be more urgent about small-scale fisheries.
No members, thank you very much, DM. Thank you very much, DDG, Chief Director, and everybody who is here. We have now concluded the first item. The last item is announcements. Where is it? It's announcements. Now, members, we have received, which I hope you do have copies of that invite, from the Portfolio Committee on Rural Development and Land Affairs, to be part of their consultative meeting on the extension of the Security of Tenure Amendment Bill. That meeting is taking place today and tomorrow. We would want to advise and request members who are available to go and be part of that meeting. It is taking place at the E249. It started at 10, it's ending at 1600 hours. Tomorrow it will be the same. So members are advised to attend that meeting, those who are available. Secondly, members, you will recall that the nominations for the ARC, the minister did extend to the end of November. So we might want to dispose of that item next week. Now, you will recall that we did request members to submit CVs and so on. So you still have time to do so, because by next week we are finalizing, then we'll be submitting our nominations. We did get a reminder from Parliament to indicate that this matter has been with us for quite some time. We need to dispose of it as quickly as possible. So just make sure that you interact with the administration here and submit the CVs of people whom you would want to serve in the ARC. So having said that, on our members, this meeting is adjourned until further notice. Adjournment means you can go and attend other meetings and do other things and so on.